Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back as we kick off our second hour at 11:45 later this hour. Sean Doolittle of the Nationals will be on the show, but right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our buddy Kedrick Golston spent 11 seasons on the Redskins defensive line, and he joins us now to talk about OTAs. Kedrick, pretty devastating news for the team yesterday. I'm sure you've heard. Reuben Foster goes down. His first snap in burgundy and gold, the third snap of the first day of these OTA activities. As a player, what's the reaction like on the field when somebody's lost for the season with a serious injury and he's carted off in a fairly irrelevant workout like that?
It's disappointing, one, because, well, that being, you know, Reuben has been in the building since they claimed him last year off of waiver. So he's built up a rapport with those guys. And due to his issues off the field, you know, he's had a great support network around him. And, you know, the suspension came out. There wasn't going to be a suspension. He was just going to be fine, two game checks. And so that was some excitement, him getting back on the field, him being around the guys. You know, not speaking for him, but you could probably tell he was getting the feel like his old self again. And for that to happen, it's extremely disappointing. But, you know, there's no rhyme or reason for it. It's just sports. It's just athletics. It's just those freaky type of things that happen. You know, from all accounts, it was non-contact, or, you know, guys run into each other all the time and bump legs and things of that nature. So, you know, you can't really explain it, but it's definitely devastating for him personally and for the team. But there really is no silver lining in it, except that, you know, now they know that, you know what, these are the guys that we have, and Reuben's not going to be in that equation this year.
Ken, how did you and your buddies view OTAs? And maybe how did that view evolve over the years, right? When you're like a young kid trying to make the team, you want to impress the coaches every chance you get. I get that. But once you've played 5, 6, 7 years in the league, did that view kind of change of OTAs?
I think, it, you know, I always came from, you know, that workman's-like mentality. Obviously, being a six-round draft pick, you know, I had to fight and scrap and claw for every rep, for every season, so on and so forth. And even as I got older, I kind of just kept that same mindset. You know, nothing's promised. And as we know, things can change on a dime like that. Now, when you talk about guys, you know, that are established all-pro type players that are playing at a high level week in and week out, like your Trent Williams, your potential Hall of Famer and Adrian Peterson, those guys are a little bit differently. But that being said, from a coaching perspective, I want them to be there, and I need them to trust me that I'm going to take care of them when they're there. I don't need Trent Williams, you know, doing past, you know, 11-on-11 drills right now in the spring, but I would like for him to be there to go through individual, to go through the conditioning, so that my younger linemen can see what it looks like at the highest level, to see how he comes in and he prepares and he sits in the meeting, for him to be able to integrate himself into the meeting room so that when he shows up on the first day, it's not like, hey, who's this? Where's Trent Williams? But he's been there. So just to kind of build that team chemistry and just to keep the vibe of the field and the locker room and the meeting room all the same, and the more time, the better. But as far as on-field play goes, I don't really know anything that Trent is really going to gain from that. But now every situation is different, you know. But if I'm a guy coming off an injury, I want to be there. And if I'm a coaching or the athletic trainer, I want my guys to be there, because I don't want to trust what they're telling me over the phone. And that's not to say they're not trustworthy, but I need to have my own eyes on them. I need my doctors looking at them. I need them doing, you know, under my supervision at least once or twice a week, so that I know, so there are no surprises when minicamp rolls around or training camp.
Kedrick Golston on Grant and Danny. I want to delve a little bit deeper into that, because we've got this debate that kind of rages as to whether what happens at OTAs is important or not. Now, on a binary, would you say that OTAs are or aren't important for a team? Like, do they really matter come September?
Absolutely. You know, that, I mean, there's a reps when you got, you know, we all know you know, Ioannidis, Payne, Allen, you know, Tim Settle, those guys on the defensive line, you know, those are reps going against, you know, starting NFL-type linemen that they that you don't have in training camp. You know what I mean? So they are important. Now, are you going to win or lose a game in OTAs? Absolutely not. But it's just kind of like that next step in the process of preparing yourself from training camp, being able to see, hey, yes, we are running the same offense, we are running the same defense, but, hey, based off of our self-scout this year, hey, we're going to tweak this way, or, hey, this coach studied this technique in the offseason, we're going to kind of change this to help improve, so on and so forth. And it's football, you know what I mean? You're constantly learning, you're constantly getting better. And a lot of these guys, when they're at these training facilities, whether it be in Florida, Texas, California, wherever, they're doing position work, they're doing drill work, they're getting on the field, catching balls, running 7-on-7. So my thing is why not do it at your facility? You know, most of the time it's Monday through Thursday. You got your weekends off. And it's only for, you know, a small amount. If you look at the big scheme of life and everything that's going on, you know, it's a small amount of time to be able to go out there. And it might not necessarily be for you per se as an individual player, but as your team, you want all your guys there to kind of create that chemistry, to create that standard that you're going to take into the season.
Really good NFL player, but really a great mushball player. Kedrick Golston joins us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Ken, is it more or less important for certain spots? Talking about OTAs, I feel like to me the most important group would be that quarterback, receiver, you know, guys that are going to catch passes just to get that timing and get kind of the, you know, the intricacies of route running and those sorts of things. Is there a group that it's more or less important for in your mind?
You know, I think, I mean, like you said, I mean, the quarterback is a dependent position. So he needs his receivers to know how to, each one of them comes out of their breaks a little bit differently. Each one of them, even though they're being coached the same, runs the route a little bit differently just because bodies are different, stride lengths are different. So, but that being said, you know, it's all important. You know, I would go back to the offensive line next, you know, being able to pass off games, being able to communicate. And that's really the thing that's great about the OTAs. And I'll say this, and it's football, you know, and granted you don't have on full pads and things like that, but for the linemen, you know, it's full speed. Nobody goes to the ground anyway, even in regular season practice and in training camp, you might have a period where you tackle to the ground, but it's a safe and controlled environment for you to work on all the things that you worked on in the offseason and meeting rooms. And it's in a controlled environment to where you can protect one another, but you still need those kind of reps from an offensive lineman standpoint. And then you can go back to the secondary. You know what I mean? There's no way for you to create being able to communicate on the run. You got a slot receiver that's lined up, you know, into the boundary. He motions out. There's a ton of communication that happens from the linebackers to the secondary, and you can't recreate that sitting in the air conditioner, you know, looking at a big screen TV where you can rewind it back five times. So that's where I think it comes in. After, you know, you're on your sixth play of a drive and you're gassed and you're breathing hard, can we still communicate at that high level that it's going to take so that when we're in FedEx Field on Sunday, that it becomes second nature because we've repped it so much?
Kedrick, one thing I wanted to hit on before we let you go, unfortunately, toward the end of your career, you spent some time around the training staff and in the training room here in Washington. It's largely the same crew of guys led by Larry Hess. I mean, they're under fire all the time. It seems like the last 2 years since you left, the most injured team in the NFL. This injury was fluke and freak, and no one's blaming them for what happened with Reuben Foster. But what is your take? You've had up close and personal experiences being trained by these guys, being mended and rehabbed by these guys. How is the staff? Because it's the same group that was there when you were there, largely.
Yeah, I was there with all those guys. I'll start off with the head strength and conditioning coach, Chad Englehart, his staff, Kavon, Jake. You know, those guys are top-notch. They care about it. They're always – they don't get set in their ways. They're always trying to learn to improve, understanding the amount of time they have with players, understand what it takes to properly train a player to progress them throughout the conditioning phase. And Larry Hess, you know, Doug, Elliot, you know, those guys over there, they do a great job. And I think some of it isn't fair because a guy blowing out his ACL is not their fault. A guy's leg snapping is not their fault. Somebody tearing up their shoulder is not their fault. Though that's football. It happens. There's nothing you can do about it. Literally, my career ended by tearing my hamstring off a bone. For years, coaches told me I wasn't fast enough. to have a hamstring. So those things, those type of things happen. You know what I'm saying? I think what it really comes down to is that, like Larry Hess did the piece with USA Today on all the float tanks and the massage tables and the rehabilitation, you know, it's up to guys to be able to communicate with the staff and the staff to be able to listen to the guys to give them exactly what they need on that day. That being said, you know, if the player needs more, the player has to go find more. And that's the, you know, that's the great thing about the NFL is you have every resource at your beckon. If you're dealing with a nagging hamstring or you're a guy that constantly pulls his hamstring, well, we need to figure out why. There's a cause. Is there an imbalance in your body? Are you dehydrated? Are you not warming up enough? So on and so forth. So everybody's a little bit different. You got guys like, you know, my last year in the NFL, I was 33 years old, 34 years old, and then you got a, you know, a 21-year-old defensive lineman. Well, you can't train us the same. You know what I mean? So I know what works for me, and he has to figure out what works for him and trying to find that balance and still, you know, be able to go out there and practice at a high level day in and day out. It's nothing that you can really set in stone, but I think it starts with communication on both ends. So I think responsibility falls both on the player and the training staff, and not to say that anybody's doing anything wrong, but at the end of the day, they both got to help each other out.
Ked, you're the best, buddy. Good catching up, man. Let's talk soon.
Hey, you know, times do change. This time last year, we were trying to convince you, Danny, to get on the boat because the staffs were making the caps were making a Stanley Cup.
Right.
You know? So you know, I mean, my half things have changed, right?
Well, it's a lot darker now, buddy.
It has not been a great calendar year, but hey, the Caps won the Cup, so
happened,
we got
man.
That. Thanks,
this
Ked.
Is true. All right, bye.
Appreciate you,
that's
buddy.
Funny.
Always good to have him on the show. Sean Doolittle of the Nats at 11:45. If you're a player, does the injury to Reuben Foster in any way influence your take, your thoughts on whether or not you want to participate in OTAs? Yes or no? We'll get your calls on that at 800-636-1067 next. Also, I've got a little announcement that I think will give people some joy.
I want that.
It's going to be exciting. People will be happy. You're listening to The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So I told you I had a little mini announcement. Nothing major here, but something that was tweeted to me that I think will have people somewhat excited. Today is the midpoint of the NFL offseason. It has been 107 days since the Patriots beat the Rams in the Super Bowl. 107 days from now, the Packers will play the Bears to kick off the 2019 season.
We're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer. I'll take it.
50% of our long, dark, cold hibernation is over, and soon enough football games will be played again. And it's even not as bad as that because obviously we'll get some preseason games, training camp starts, so you get your fix in a way that you hadn't previously.
Then, about 80 days after that kickoff, we'll start to complain about the Thursday night matchups and that Monday night football disappointed, and then we'll like an announcer, and then we'll feel like it's a slog. And then we'll realize again how precious a gift it is to have the games on all the time.
The NFL is health. When you don't have it, you remember how great it is.
That's right.
While you have it, you find little things to gripe about, but you sleep on just how beautiful it is to wake up feeling normal.
Football's so much better than not football. It's a very easy equation.
Reuben Foster out for the year with a torn ACL. Bills head coach Sean McDermott just addressed reporters and said that his starting tight end, Tyler Kroft, suffered a broken foot during yesterday's OTAs and he needs surgery. Now, presumably that won't end his season, but it is a serious enough injury that you add it to the pile of here are players at OTAs, non-contact drills, suffering pretty serious injuries. We wanted to have a longtime former player on to get his take on whether or not OTAs are important. Here's what Kedrick Golston said when we asked him about that. 11 years in the NFL with the Redskins, he was always a guy that did show up.
You know, that, I mean, there's a reps when you got, you know, we all know you know, Ioannidis, Payne, Allen, you know, Tim Settle, those guys on the defensive line, you know, those are reps going against, you know, starting NFL-type linemen that they that you don't have in training camp. You know what I mean? So they are important. Now, are you going to win or lose a game in OTAs? Absolutely not. But it's just kind of like that next step in the process of preparing yourself from training camp, being able to see, hey, yes, we are running the same offense, we are running the same defense, but, hey, based off of our self-scout this year, hey, we're going to tweak this this way, or, hey, this coach studied this technique in the offseason, we're going to kind of change this to help improve, so on and so forth. And it's football, you know what I mean? You're constantly learning, you're constantly getting better. And a lot of these guys, when they're at these training facilities, whether it be in Florida, Texas, California, wherever, they're doing position work, they're doing drill work, they're getting on the field, catching balls, running 7-on-7. So my thing is why not do it at your facility? You know, most of the time it's Monday through Thursday. You got your weekends off. And it's only for, you know, a small amount. If you look at the big scheme of life and everything that's going on, you know, it's a small amount of time to be able to go out there. And it might not necessarily be for you per se as an individual player, but as your team, you want all your guys there to kind of create that chemistry, to create that standard that you're going to take into the season.
I think the juice is worth the squeeze. I always have. What he says there at the end, the camaraderie and the cohesion of teammates, what you can accomplish, and the things that he talked about, teams being able to get done before they show up for training camp, it's important enough that you're going to risk an injury or two here or there. It's very rare that you lose a guy with a serious injury at these events. But as we saw yesterday, it is a possibility. Who's to say his knee wouldn't have given out in the first practice at training camp or during a game? I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate. But what I will say is this does not change my opinion that I want players there. I can do everything in my power to keep you healthy, and I know that that's not 100% foolproof.
Right.
But we're going to make sure that we take care of you as best we can, and we have to get things done. There is a risk that comes with playing this game. Every time you put on your helmet and you run out onto the field and there's bodies underneath of you, you stepped on a foot and your knee exploded. There's nothing I can do about that. But you've never played in my defense, and I need to help you get ready for the season.
So the conversation that always I hearken back to was the infuriating straw man nonsense back in 2012 when Robert Griffin was running around. And those of us that had common sense were going, this isn't sustainable. The amount of hits he's taking is not sustainable. Something has to change. And you'd get responses, well, you can get hit walking home, or you can get hit just driving your car, mowing the lawn. Crazy things happen. And we had to explain to people how risk works, how insurance companies make billions of dollars because they don't insure you. I have a different insurance rate if I go bungee jumping every Thursday than I do if I just go to and from work. If I don't get in accidents, I have a better insurance rate than a guy who gets drunk and crashes his car every Friday night at happy hour. That's how life works. There are certain times where as you're doing the graph of risk versus reward, juice is worth the squeeze, whatever phrase you want to use. This still, if I'm plotting my data points, is on the side where the reward is greater than the risk, so you do it. It sucks what happened to Reuben Foster. Just like it sucked what happened to Sean Lee a couple years ago, what happened to Tyler Croft who hurt himself. When a guy gets hurt in the name of improvement and practice and getting better, it's unfortunate. That's how I would phrase it. I also know that you have such limited windows to improve as a player and as then a larger part of a team that you must take advantage of every one of those opportunities that's afforded to you. It will not change my stance. Guys should be there. Even if you decide, as Trent Williams, that your training methods, and it's been proven, although I'd argue you miss a lot of enough time where maybe what you're doing isn't foolproof, but I digress. You're a good enough player where you don't do it, you go to Texas and you do your weird drills, and that's all fine. I think even your presence, even if you say, Coach, I'm not going through any of these things, but I'll sit there in the meeting rooms. I'll be there to help some of these young guys. I think it's important that everybody should be there. Otherwise, why are we doing it? If it's truly that voluntary, and there's no implication to it, then let's just not even hold them. We do hold them because the guys that go and the guys that run it understand that it's an opportunity to improve as a football player and as a team, and you have such limited amounts of time to do that. It's always worth it to me.
Yesterday on Chad Dukes versus the World, Santana Moss and D'Angelo Hall joined Chad from Santana's charity golf tournament, and they actually were covering this similar subject, which was OTAs and the importance of them. know, Golston pointed out he was a role player. He was kind of a part of a rotation, a reserve at times on the defensive line, so he felt like he had to be there. Santana Moss was a Pro Bowler and a star for much of his time in Washington, and he always attended these events, whether they were mandatory or not. Here's what he had to say about OTAs.
You know, to me, when I was playing the game, I just always stayed prayed up, man. I honestly thought that I had to be out there one because my position relies on a lot of other people. So I knew how it was not being in sync with that quarterback and not knowing what was going on through that playbook. So I always wanted to get those reps. But at the same time, I knew that it was any given play that I can go down. So I just always prayed, man, that I have a good, safe practice, never try to do anything too extra, did everything in the lines of me being myself and said, hey, you know, I don't need to up it anymore out here because this right now is just trying to get me ready to the season.
Let's open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines on this next for you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Sean Doolittle is going to be with us at 11:45 today, about 20 minutes out. You heard from Moss, you heard from Golston, two guys who are pro showing up and think players should be at OTAs even after what happened to Reuben Foster. A, do you agree with them that it is important that players should be there? And B, if you were in the Redskins locker room, or let's say you're one of the guys on this team that was contemplating possibly coming to OTAs who missed the first day or so, would this influence your decision at all? Would you say, you know what, I'm not going to be involved in those drills. I'm not going to worry about any kind of an injury stepping on someone's foot because I'm not taking part in it at all. 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Guys, Metropolitan Moving and Storage is the only way I would tell you to move. When I moved, I used Metropolitan Moving and Storage, and I enjoyed them so much, I got them to move my brother and my in-laws. He has since had them move his in-laws. They make about 80 moves a week and over 4,000 moves all-purpose in 2018. They'll shatter that number this year because my pal John Neal and his partner Robert are growing this company bigger and better all the time. Nick Ashew here at the radio station just used them. Chad and JP from the Junkies have both used them on our 106.7 lineup. So did our program director, CK. Tom Wilson of the Capitals used Metropolitan Moving and Storage. They pack you, they store you, they unpack you. They've got the Angie's List Superior Service Award 11 years running. 1% of companies receive that award. They just do an incredible job. You know, most companies have 1 to 2 A teams. All of their teams are their A teams. Go to dcmetropolitanmoving.com or call them at 301-279-0090 if you're going to be moving.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Get back into Reuben Foster and the fact that with him out for the year, it could force some of the Redskins into rethinking whether or not they want to be at OTAs. Did you see that Scarlett Johansson got engaged to Colin Jost? I think that's how you say his name.
Colin Jost?
The dude from SNL? Is it a hard J?
I think it's a hard J.
Okay. That guy is engaged to Scarlett Johansson.
What?
Did you know that?
I didn't even know that they were together.
They have been together for a while. He's been walking the red carpet with her before the Avengers movies. What an all-time outkicking of your coverage by Colin Jost.
Now, he's funny. I think he does a pretty good job on SNL's update, weekend update. I actually do. I like him. But there's a, my joke is so hilarious, smugness to his face that's very irritating. And that's part of his charm. It's part of what makes him like good at that. But it's like, I'm inside the rope on this joke and you guys better get here with me. That's a little bit irritating.
I'd imagine he's a cool guy to hang out with. Probably would be fun to go to a baseball game with or something. He's got to have something going with him for him if he's going to be marrying Scarlett Johansson. You know, this is the third marriage now for her.
I did not know that.
I just saw this on the news last night.
Was she married to Ryan Reynolds?
She was. Ryan Reynolds and some other donk.
See, how cool that? That dude is hilarious and so handsome.
And he's with Blake Lively.
He's in amazing shape. That's good.
How's that for a resume, by the way?
By the way, that, I like that. I like it when my super handsome, talented hunks are with, like, females that are the same, and then that kind of vice versa. I like that. Blake Lively should be with a guy that's awesome.
Yeah, you want 99th percentile human beings with each other.
I don't like Kate Beckinsale and Pete Davidson. I don't like that.
And they broke up a while ago.
And that's what I'm saying. But I want less of that and more ones that make sense.
Oh, Kate Beckinsale should be with like a Ryan Gosling or something
yeah.
like that.
I mean, so whoever I don't know how old people are exactly, but like she should be with the George Clooney.
I was going to say Clooney's the perfect guy.
You know what I mean?
Or Richard Gere, somebody like that.
Richard Gere's like in his upper 60s now, I want to say.
But he's got that white hair, and everyone loves
him.
He's
so
distinguished.
How distinguished is that guy?
He probably could be a professor at a very fine university.
He's the kind of guy that's got glasses on but tilts them down to look at a student.
I had no idea that she was engaged to him, and I'm like, who is that?
Who's her first husband? Is it some like artsy guy that's a director?
I think the first one was Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, okay.
The second one was some other celebrity donk, and then now it's him. So maybe the third time will be the charm. I don't know. But I just saw that, and I thought, I need to understand what I'm missing here. Maybe he's very funny. You think he's funny?
No, he is funny. He's a talented dude.
Are you basing that just on SNL?
No, he's a good comic.
Does he have a comic career outside of SNL?
Yeah, I mean, that's how he got the gig, was that kind of snarky, biting, stand-up, sort of the acerbic style is what I would say, right? Where he's not quite Anthony Jeselnik, who just says crazy stuff to say crazy stuff, but he's got that similar kind of delivery. There's a smugness to it. There's a irrational confidence in his own abilities that he has. Really good on stage. He's funny.
One other thing to bounce off you is I'll make this a little bit of a double play here ahead of Sean Doolittle at 11:45 in our normal double
booing,
play spot.
They're saying do.
Thank you. We got to ask Doolittle about his Star Wars Day bobblehead, too, which is going to be pretty cool. We talked to him about that last week. But I saw this story, and I thought it was one of the dumbest things I've ever read. So I'm going to read from UPI.com. 100 Michigan shoppers gathered to hold a vigil after the closing of a popular local supermarket chain. The group of devoted shoppers, including a Democratic U.S. representative, came together outside of Kroger Grocery Store in Dearborn, Michigan, after it was closed on Saturday afternoon. Fans of the store dressed in funeral garb, wore black, waved signs and lit candles as they mourned the closing of the location. This seems like something out of The Onion. It's actually a real thing.
It's
I saw
a real
pictures
thing.
Of it. This is a community celebration. This is what community means to Kroger, the diversity, the inclusion, the respect that the community has for years of this blah, blah, blah. Know this. Another Kroger opened like across the street. So it's not even like, oh, Kroger's gone
they
forever.
They just moved. Yeah, I was going to say they didn't close.
A newer Kroger location across the street from this one will remain open.
A newer Chad reads. Kroger.
Kroger officials said the employees who were laid off due to the store's closure have been offered jobs at the other store. So they're holding a vigil. Look at these pictures. People wearing black suits hanging out outside of this store. There's hundreds of people.
Can you imagine how not busy you have to be?
How much time do you have to have?
Can you imagine how little concern you've got going?
And
that you
I
can go to that one
sense.
Kroger and there's another Kroger opening up 100 yards from it?
Danny, I don't even get the sense this is done as an ironic funny thing. I don't think this is a bit.
Now, if it is a bit, tip of the cap. But I don't think it's a bit.
You got a U.S. representative on hand for a bit? I don't think this is a bit.
Like, I love Trader Joe's, right? There's a Trader Joe's coming in my neighborhood. I couldn't
is
be more excited about
it. It's still not there?
It's still not there.
You've been asking my wife about this Trader Joe's for 4 years.
They slowly construct this thing. I'm so tired of waiting for it. But if that closed, I would be able to move on. You know what I mean? There's a Safeway. There's a Giant. Both have good parking. Like,
the amount of care and passion you have to have for a grocery store to put an outfit on, to go to a parking lot, to do some send-off, I'll never have. And if these people were doing something funny, I'd say, oh, wow, that's really hilarious. Good job, everybody. They weren't. I get the sense they're legitimately sad that this thing's closing because they have memories there. I shopped at Food Lion in Dahlgren for 20 years, right?
The Food Lion.
From when I was 0 to when I was 18 years old, I shopped at that Food Lion. I haven't been back there since. I haven't thought about it since. You couldn't get me to go back there. I don't care about it. Yes, I used to see someone I knew every time I was in there on aisle 6. Yes, I bought a lot of things there that I ate and enjoyed. The first time I ever had all my favorite foods, I got them at that store. What are these people doing? This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
There's got to be more to the story.
I read the entire story.
I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm simply saying there's got to be more. There's got to be some employee that they love or some produce section that won't be the same. They're opening the damn thing up 100 yards from there. Right?
It's already open. There is an owned, operated Kroger. They're two within like a little city block, basically, near each other. They're closing the one because the other one's going to be the Kroger in this neighborhood. And they've offered everyone that got laid off jobs at the other one. There's nothing sad about this. Please, everyone, let's find something else to do. Let's invest our energy in something else. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a video game.
Again, we'll take that energy and make some sandwiches and give them out to people that are hungry.
Let's do that.
Go to a soup kitchen. I'm always amazed at like the passion for certain things that drive people to this. Like, I'm not a big protester. I'm not a guy that shows up to picket and do a lot of different things. I'm always amazed at some of the things that draw people out.
Thom said they can't give out sandwiches because the deli's closed. That's not correct because there's another deli that's open.
There's a new Chad Kroger across the street.
Across the parking lot.
And they play Nickelback all the time.
Sean Doolittle, closer of the Nationals, is live on Grant and Danny. Next, our Beltway Blitz at noon and in the 12 o'clock hour. Kevin Durant is back on Twitter, acting like a baby again.
Oh, no.
We've got the details on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Nats and the Mets, game two of a four-game series tonight at 7:10. Eric Fetty gets his first start of the season, leaving the bullpen to go to the rotation. After losing another series opening game, the Nats are trying to get even with the New Yorkers on the road tonight. One way to get into the win column would be to get Sean Doolittle onto the mound some point during this game. Their best reliever and one of the best closers in baseball is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline with us right now on Grant and Danny. Sean, how you been?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well, buddy.
Doing well, bro. I hope you didn't drag your toe while you were picking up the phone to call.
Don't you touch that toe.
It was just a tap. I didn't drag anything.
That's a good point.
I just tapped it.
So, look, Joe Madden's a little bit of a goose sometimes. I like the guy, but this was Joe Madden-y, if I've ever seen anything.
He's just so Madden-y.
He is. So, what he basically was upset about in comparing you to Carl Edwards Jr., the two things were not similar at all. For people who haven't seen, Edwards basically completely stops his delivery as he plants his entire foot on the ground. You kind of grazed one of your spikes on the dirt as a toe tap.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about this, but I'm just curious, now that the dust is settled, like, you're not actually going to do anything different or think about this for one second, are you?
No, and you know, it's weird how the rest of that inning I pitched without the toe tap, which I do when I have runners on base. I don't tap my foot with runners on base because I like to be able to, if I need to pick off to first or do an inside move to second base, you know, it keeps those options open. So it didn't really like. It wasn't really something that was going to affect me whichever way, you know, they decided to interpret the rule in the moment. But, at the time, you know, in the heat of the moment, I didn't fully comprehend that he was doing it because he was trying to defend his player. But I just think it was the wrong time and the wrong place to try it for him to try to make that point, you know, to try to use, you know, my inning, to try to use me as a way to defend his guy, something that with a rule that had been handed down, you know, a month and a half ago.
The second game of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're not even that similar. So, you know, I just really, you know, didn't appreciate that. That kind of fired me up a little bit. And You know, during the meetings with the umpires on the field, Sam Holbrook, the home plate umpire, he said, you're fine. Like, you keep it moving as long as, you know, you continue. It's one fluid motion. He said, you're fine. They just had to, you know, go through the formality. And then, you know, the Cubs said they were going to protest the game, and then they didn't even file the protest afterwards, which kind of proves that it was just, you know, it was just all for show. And I can appreciate and respect on some level that he wants to have his players back. But I just, in that moment, I don't know. I just didn't really appreciate the interruptions.
Yeah, and nor should you. I mean, it's what's so strange to me. There's a million things. Like, Rob Nen used to hit his foot on the ground, then like drag it, and you know, that was really weird. Clayton Kershaw goes straight up and then comes down and almost grazes the ground. Maybe his cleat brazes dirt at times. It's there's a clear delineation between a delivery and whatever the hell that was. I'm with you, Sean. I thought that was I'll go harder than it sounds like you did. I think it's Bush League what he did. I honestly get wanting to get your guys back. I also get that you're sitting there trying to disrupt your rhythm. This to me was amateur hour, and I loved your quote about he's just trying to prove how smart he is. I frankly thought it was cheap Bush League, and I thought we'd gotten past stuff like that. You know, that's like two American Legion rival dads that don't like each other filing protests with the umpire, you know, in the middle of a district showdown for a couple 500 teams with a bunch of kids that aren't going anywhere. I thought that was ridiculous. Feel free to comment, I guess.
Hey, look, like I said, it didn't really affect me. In the moment, it was just more of like an inconvenience. It was one of my quickest innings of the year, so maybe there was a little bit of poetic justice there. We won the game, and you know, I don't know. I heard last night they were still doing this on the Cubs broadcast last night. They're still breaking it down. They're still, you know, showing side-by-side videos. All my in-laws who we're in the process of converting from Cubs fans to Nats fans, because my wife is from Chicago. They've been watching it. You know, it's been like the Zapruder film where people are like, is that a tap or a step, or you know, how long is it on the ground? We've had a lot of people break it down, and you know, I've gotten clarification that my delivery is okay. It's kind of weird because I think Edwards' delivery should be okay. I think Corey Guerin, who pitches for Seattle, he has a toe tap and ran into some issues as well. I think his delivery should be okay. You know, I don't see anything wrong with a hesitation move in the middle of your delivery, especially when you know, everything is kind of set up to favor the hitter in today's game. If a pitcher can mess with timing a little bit, I think that should be allowed. I just think there are maybe some other channels you could use to, you know, get that clarification. That's all.
Sean Doolittle on Grant and Danny each and every Tuesday at 11:45. Of course, Star Wars Day is coming up at the ballpark Saturday, June 15th. You can get the Obi-Sean Kenobi bobblehead that day, which we can get into with Sean here in a moment. What did you think of Tanner Rainey last night? Dude's touching 99 with a wipeout slider in his debut. Had a strong inning. You guys are kind of desperate for any kind of middle relief help you can get. You had to like what you saw from him.
Yeah, that was fun to watch. You know, I'd heard a lot about him coming over in the trade this offseason, and I got to see him a little bit in camp, and I always loved the way the ball came out of his hand. Really, really clean arm action, really fluid. He gets really good, you know, downward plane coming out of his hand on his fastball, and really, you know, if we want to get into the analytics, he's a really, really high spin rate guy, which means his fastball, even though it's it is 97, 98 miles an hour at times. I know he can touch 100. It has that late life. It has that deception that hitters have a tough time squaring up, and you know, I was excited for him last night to come in, have a good inning in his first one with us, and He looks like he's going to be fun to watch, so we're happy to have him.
Do you have one of your bobbleheads yet? Like, do you have like a super secret copy that's locked away behind the scenes? Or I mean, because we talked about it a little bit last week. It looks awesome. The day is coming up. I know you had a hand in designing it as well. But do you have one?
Yeah, I don't. I've gotten to hold one a few times, but I don't actually have one yet.
Did you ever watch Parks and Rec? At all? Did you ever see Parks
and Rec? A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit, yeah.
Later in the episodes, Leslie and Ben are dating, right? And Leslie gets Ben an Iron Throne replica, and he, like, sits in it and, like, makes sound effects and, like, starts barking out orders, whatever. I envision you holding your bobblehead and, like, making lightsaber sound effects. True or false?
Hey. Very true. Very true. One of the best parts about the bobblehead wasn't the bobblehead itself. We shot in spring training. We shot a lot of promo footage where I'm in a Jedi robe and I have a lightsaber, and we got one of the cool lightsabers that makes the sound effects when you move it. I was probably in front of the camera for like a half an hour, and they were like, just go, like, just do Jedi lightsaber moves. And I got pretty good, so I'm excited to see how the promos come out. I'm sure they'll play them in the weeks leading up to Star Wars night, so you guys will have to let me know how it looks.
Sean, let's get a decent start from Eric Fetty tonight and a save op for you in New York. How about it?
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
See you, brother. Yeah, always, man. Good. There's Sean Doolittle of the Nats, your closer and a potential all-star here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. The Beltway Blitz is next. Tarik El-Bashir on the Redskins, Craig Heist on the Nats, among those featured, and what Kevin Durant said on Twitter that's got him in a little bit of warm water with basketball fans as we continue on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.